Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And just when you thought it would be safe to get in the water again, we're saying they're back.
All right.
The entrepreneurial spirit, the Leanne Hull and Craig Dean. Hey.
Ooh, we're glad to be back.
It's so fun. It's like a reunion.
Yes, and you don't have enough titles after your name.
Oh, that's right. CPA, NLP.
Linguistics.
ASS.
What? Oh, yes. Oh, Tom, he's hitting the button, and the button is being hit.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Craig's off the show for the day.
Well, they were back. Let's say that. And
that's why you have that eject button here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's just not the bleep button, but the eject of the seat button.
I know. I need some humor. I just came from a funeral, so I just need to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very sad event.
Yeah, it was a very sad. Very good friend of mine for almost 30 years, died at age 58, and a huge funeral, almost 500 people at the funeral.
Oh, my, 500?
500, the place was packed.
Oh.
You know, and he was the kind of guy that everybody could say, you know, Bob was my best friend. He had that way with people. He was a great listener.
I saw that in the obituary. It was awesome. That was what really struck me is when they said he was a great listener.
He was a great listener. I'll tell you, and he had such a dry sense of humor. I told my wife this story this morning. I never told it to anybody. Bob was the first man in my life that I said, I love you. I had never, ever told a man that before in my whole entire life.
Wow. Wow. That's, but that's good. I mean, that shows your compassion, your heart, your soul. You are a nice guy, Mr. Craig.
He is definitely one of the nicest, nicest guys I know.
There's no doubt about it.
This is a love fest.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it is a fest. So anyway, of course, today we have a great in-studio guest, Wes Gullett. Running for mayor. Ooh. Wes, welcome to the show.
I'm literally running for mayor.
I
just ran in here and to be on the show. I'm running.
That's good.
He has his little...
Got my sticker on. That way everybody knows who I am. Otherwise, they just think I'm the guy with the signs.
Where do I get one of those?
No,
my car.
No, with the name Dave Isaac.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, I like it. That's very clear. It's a beautifully designed Wes Gullett. For mayor.
It's, I've knocked on 5,000 doors in this campaign.
Oh, wow.
I have been out, I've worked at the libraries, I shook hands all over town, and the main thing I get, I'm Wes Gullett, I'm running for mayor. Oh, you're the guy with all the signs, because we've had signs up for so long. So we printed up these stickers that look like the signs. Now people know who I am.
That is very cool.
Hey, you know, I'm not a household name, but I will be.
Yeah, I think you will be, too. I think that's good. And I have to say, you know, you were on our show a couple times, actually. You're a very, very nice human being. I really want to say that.
Approachable, which is really great.
Incredibly. For a mayor, any politician, I mean, you're accessible. I personally appreciate that about you. And I've heard so many great things. We have some friends in common. And they say such great things about you. I just wanted to point that out.
Well, thank you very much. It is, you know, as you go through life, the one thing that you've got to do is just be willing to give people a hug.
Yeah.
And understand that we all have our quirks. And that's how we're going to bring this community together, to get the important things done that we need to get done, to get the economy going again, to reform government. And but you started out with a handshake. You started out by reaching out and reaching out to people. And when you do that, I think life is pretty good.
We haven't had to do that in a long time. We had a really interesting meeting here recently. This last Friday, Craig and I have been appointed as commissioners for the Board of Sister Cities for the City of Phoenix. And in our meeting this last Friday, we had the director of
Economic development.
Economic development for the city of Phoenix, and his name is Paul Blue, and he was awesome. He said, what the difference now that we're having to do is actually get back out there, get to know our businesses, because we haven't had to.
Yeah.
We've been order takers as business people, and now even as politicians. I think that there was an air about so many politicians that they didn't have to, you know, really be true representatives of the people. And we've come to a realization that, like you said, you have to be out there. You are there to represent us. And if you're not approachable, then what's the point?
The world changed in a very dramatic way in 2008. And when the economy went in the tank, when the credit crunch hit, and everybody had to rethink about how they were doing whatever they were doing, that made a tremendous difference. And what has happened is, in our business, in my business, First Strategic, we had to be more aggressive. We had to work harder. We had to have a sale, you know, cut prices, cut costs, be more efficient, be more aggressive. That's what everybody has had to do who's still in business, and that's what so many families had to do. They had to think twice about those big purchases. They had to think twice about how they were going to balance their own family budget. They couldn't just borrow unlimited amounts of money anymore. And when, so everybody had a mindset change. And what I want to do is bring that same mindset change to the city so that we can be the most entrepreneurial city government, so that we can be nimble, so that we can take advantage of things quickly and move faster and more adeptly. And to do that, we have to reform the system. We have to change the way we do business, and we have to look at it with a new set of fresh eyes.
How are you going to do that?
Well, principally by challenging the system, challenging the staff, challenging the questions that we ask, and ask why are we doing it that way. It's not good enough to say that's the way we've always done it. It doesn't make sense to me that we have the payroll, the way we do business with our employees, in this step-by-step increase. And then if you reach the top of your steps, then you get a longevity thing. Basically, it's a cost-of-living adjustment for our employees. We've got to look at it differently. We've got to look at it from and say, if you're going to go above and beyond, we're going to give you more money. If you're not, if you're just doing your job, that's great. But we're not going to give you a raise.
You're talking about performance pay, pretty much.
I'm talking about performance pay.
Yeah.
And that is revolutionary.
You know, even that, still, there are a lot of people that are going above and beyond and just happy to have their jobs right now.
Exactly.
They're not even looking for increases or pay raises. They're just trying to hang on to the jobs that they have. And that would be a novel idea, to get back to that place to where you actually do your job to and you get paid for that, instead of these entitled pensions and things that you just get automatically because you've been there so many years.
Right.
You know, we can't continue that.
But if you have an aggressive performance-based pay system, and we're still saving money, even if we're and what the challenge is, that we've got police officers who are out there taking bullets for us, protecting our community, who are really going above and beyond. We have people throughout government that are doing that extra. And I'm a firm believer in my company, you know, if I've got an employee that I want to keep, I'm willing to take less money to keep them.
Exactly.
And sometimes we have to do that. So we have to, I believe,
sacrifices.
That we recognize that we do have employees that we want to keep and that are doing a great job and that we want to reward. But it's not 98%. Sometimes you're just going to have to be satisfied with keeping your job.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to be able to make decisions that we can do it with less people.
Well, when people understand that their pay raise is based upon merit and not just longevity, maybe they'll increase the output when they work a little bit better.
Well, I think that you definitely do, and you increase morale, because what happens now is, if I'm working above and beyond, the guy next to me who's just coming in and leaving it, you know, clocking out at the minute that he can, they're getting the same increase that I am, who's the aggressive guy who's going above and beyond. Now, what kind of morale signals does that send? And they all know that they're getting, but we have to have this conversation with our employees so they understand the full package too.
See, at some point, you know, I used to work for the state, well, I won't say what state, but one of the states. It wasn't the state, however, But, you know, sort of built into the culture of certain states, certain city governments, and so on, is sort of a, you know, it's like it takes an act of Congress to get fired. I mean, you just can't seem to get fired.
Tenure.
Yeah, it's really difficult, and that's why I didn't stay very long, because I stayed enough. I was a government tax auditor. So, but I said, this is no way to run anything, because it just attracted people that became lazy, that didn't have ambition, and I thought that was a very very tough way to run a government, a business, anything.
Well, and we've got great employees. Greg Stanton says that I'd go after employees. I'm not going after employees. I'm saying we can do better. I'm saying, and the savings that we can accrue has a purpose. And the purpose of that savings is to reduce the burden on the businesses who are creating private sector jobs that are creating the people who are buying things in sales tax. We've got to cut permit fees, get red tape out of the way, so that our small businesses and big businesses can get started quicker, faster, and can grow without these regulatory burdens and the cost associated with those permits. And if we do that, we can unleash the power of the private economy.
And that's what was so refreshing, what Paul Blue said. He was actually saying, we need to go out to the businesses and ask them, what can we do for you? When I had my restaurants, it was almost like when you would go to the city with your permits, we dare you to open a business. Mm-hmm. We double dare you. The hurdles that I had to jump were just ridiculous.
And I'm glad to hear Paul saying that. But here's Paul's problem. He's in a department that is separate from the permitting department. Mm-hmm. My plan is to pull them together so that the economic development people are actually working with the development services department, who are the ones that are getting in the way of business growing and expanding, so that these guys have a built-in incentive together, break down the silos, have the same incentive to grow businesses, to get permits done. We've got a plan. Sal DeCiccio and I have a plan for same-day permitting. Now, the city will say, well, we just did that. Well, they didn't do it. They only did it a third of the way. What we need to do is have one-day permitting that goes through the whole process. Then the city becomes an auditor to make sure that the people who are registered, licensed contractors are doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. The city audits that instead of going out and inspecting it and doing all this stuff and getting in the way and slowing it down. But rather, you turn over that to the private sector so that they do it. The city then audits to make sure that they did it right. In the modern world, with the technology that we have, we can monitor it all through and have a good audit trail and make sure that they're doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. Enforce the laws as they apply, but in an audit standpoint, they come in, they get their permit, they build their thing, we come out and say, okay, boom, you're done. You're moving through the system, you're creating jobs, and guess what we get to do with that? We get to put up a big sign on City Hall that says, Phoenix, we're open for business.
For business, exactly. Yeah. And where do the employees of Phoenix get their salaries from?
From us.
Exactly, correct. A novel idea would be, aren't we all in this together?
We are all in it together. And if we do that, now, the reason they were worried, we might not need as many inspectors. It's okay if we do it more efficiently and don't need as many inspectors. It's okay. We'll either find them another job or, God forbid, we have to reduce jobs. But the attrition that factors into this whole thing is so significant that there are plenty of opportunities. If we do that and we put this big sign up, open for business, and we have the most efficient permitting process in the country, guess what? When they're flying over us to go to Texas from California with these businesses, they stop here. And they say, we want to open our business in Phoenix. We're going to bring employees to Phoenix, Arizona, because you guys have something no one else does. That's what we need to be doing.
And we'll take a quick break now, and then we'll be continue our discussion with Wes Gullett, running for mayor of the city of Phoenix. We're here with the entrepreneurial spirit, Craig Dean, Leanne Hall, and we'll be right back.
D.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7-steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit starring Leanne Hall and Craig Dean. And we have Wes Gullett running for mayor for the city of Phoenix in studio. Wes, it's such an honor to have you here. Now, I wanted to ask you a question about how do you change the culture? You know, every great business needs a great culture in which to flourish. And there's some businesses, unfortunately, out there that have a very limiting culture, and it really prevents people from reaching their highest and best. How do you start that process, and how long would it take?
Well, it's impossible to know how long it's going to take, but my view of it is, as an entrepreneur, is that it's from the top. It's leadership. It's taking the time to go talk to people and tell them what your plan is. We've got 14,500 employees at the city of Phoenix. I had a conversation with a guy from the water department. It was kind of a tough conversation because he said, you know, I was trying to take away his pension and blah, blah, blah. And we had this kind of back and forth. At the end of it, I said, look, I will come down to the water department. I will sit with you guys, and we will have a conversation about how to make this thing work, how to make it better, how to make it more successful. And he said, well, you'd be the first mayor in 22 years that I've worked there that's ever come down to.
Wow.
Now, that's important. That's important because we've got to go down to the employees. We've got to knock on the door. We've got to come in and sit down with them and say, how can we make this better? What do you need to do your job better? How can we serve the public better? How can we be more efficient? And if we do that, we can go beyond finding 3% savings, which is what they found in the very first year of the efficiency task force was only 3% savings. We can find more than that because we're buying people in to be more efficient. But you have to have a purpose. It's a purpose-driven – I have a purpose-driven life, and you have to have a purpose-driven entrepreneurial spirit. Why are we making these changes? What's the point of making these changes? The purpose is to help people who are struggling. And we're all struggling right now. And with 9.3% unemployment, with having lost 250,000 jobs, with every street in our city with vacant homes that have been repossessed or foreclosed on, we all know that we can do better. And so getting the economy going again is job number one, and I'm going to go talk to our employees and say, this is what we've got to do. We've got to help people get the economy going again.
I hear you say we all, and I have to tell you that I think that there is still a huge disconnect between the general population and our elected officials. And that is where people – I had lunch with a guy today, and he said – Leanne, I told him I was going to be, you know, interviewing you today, and he said, it's a joke, Leanne. He said, our elected officials are a joke. And he said, for you to even participate in that is ridiculous because you're not going to make a difference. There's nothing you are going to do that's going to make a difference. And that's why, I mean, I ran for office because I wanted to make a difference and I believed that I could. And I soon found out that I couldn't because it's all about the money, Wes. That's all it is about the money. And until that money is separated from our elected officials, we still get the same over and over. What's going to separate you? What's going to make you different so that you really do connect with the people? Because I'm telling you, most, 99% of our elected officials don't understand what it's like to lose their house, don't understand what it's like to shut a business after 27 years. You can sit there and say, we all understand it, and that's a crock. Because
well,
it's
true. When I say we, I'm talking about the people who are actually out there that it's happening to. I'm not talking about the politicians.
But they don't understand what's going to make you, why can you, how are you going to be able to do that so you really can relate and work with the people.
And the difference is that I've been in the community. I've been in the general population for the last 15 years as a business person. I've been actually having to hustle to get jobs. I've been turned down in jobs. I've lost jobs because of politics. I've lost jobs because I was running for mayor. But I've also understood how you get those jobs, how you can inspire people to do better, and how you can keep long-term employment, because I've been out there doing that. And one of the things I think that makes me different than, especially from Greg Stanton, who's been in the public sector, cashing public checks for basically his entire career, is that I know what the general economy is like. I understand how tough it is out there and how much harder you have to hustle today than in the past, but also what families are going through on a daily basis. The house across the street from me was foreclosed on, sat empty for a year. The one next door to me was the same way. For 3 years, we had guys selling crack out of there. This is happening on every street in our city. And the only solution to it is getting the economy going again.
Yeah.
And so we've got to concentrate and do everything we can to get jobs
created.
How
do you stay grounded, Wes? How do you, once you get elected, how do you stay true to the people? What happens there?
I have a 15 and a 17 and a 20-year-old daughters, and they keep me pretty grounded. But they're in it too. They're in the soup too. What we've got to do is continue. And this is I'm going to run the mayor's office just like I run my campaign, frugally, efficiently, and engaged with the public. Because the point of this exercise isn't just to be there. And I was just with Reverend Warren Stewart down at First Institutional Baptist Church today. That's who I was with before I came here. And we were talking about this very issue. And the difference is that because I've been out in the community working hard, the community is counting on me. The community is counting on me to do this. And if I wanted to make a lot of money, go on great vacations, do all that, I'd have stayed in my job. But I'm giving it up. I'm giving it up to serve the public because I think this is a critical time. I'm not giving all that up just to have a title.
You know what? I get that you've been in business. I get that you understand it. However, everybody knows how inefficient government is. All you have to go is the DMV or go to the Social Security Administration, go to the post office or whatever. If their break time is at 11:15, it doesn't matter if there's 50 people standing in line. They go on their break. You do that in a private business and you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to change the mentality of 14,500 workers who are bureaucrats and have job security up the wazoo?
Well, you have. It's harder to do it than it is in the private sector where you get fired.
Yeah.
But it also is going to take an education. And that education is, look, being real. Instead of making decisions that we're going to cut library hours and we're going to cut back community center hours and we're going to eliminate bus routes and things like that, which was what we did. Maybe what we need to do is lay some people off if we don't have the money. And so people understand that there is a connection between the economy and their job. Because what's happened is we've eliminated 2,000 positions. And by my count, there's about 37 people who've actually lost their jobs out of those 2,000. Now, that's a good budgetary trick, and it's and it balances budgets, which are required. But there is a nexus between the economy and the government, because if the economy isn't there, we can't, you know, the money's not there.
Right.
People need to understand that that is real, and that it's not just a gimmick, and we can't just borrow money. So how do you do that? You have to hold the line. Now, does that make it easy? When I talked to a couple policemen today, they were like, yeah, you're going to cut our salaries, and we're concerned about that. It's tough to look a policeman in the eye and say, well, we're going to hold the line on salary increases. We're going to stop right here because we can't afford it. We just can't afford it, and we've got to get the economy going again. We've got to find efficiencies. But you have to be tough about it. And they, you know, and it's going to take somebody who's tough to be in that job right now.
When we're talking about inefficiencies, you know, it's interesting to me when I look around and I see, hey, and I'm a, I support the police and the fire department. I'm so thankful for their service, but I don't like to see their beautiful new buildings. I've been in the construction industry for 27 years, and the first thing that happens in a down economy is you start looking at how you can be more effective in your building projects. So we have the state of the art, green lead, all kind. And hey, I believe in energy, in environmental services, and environmental green, and all of that. But I look at our new fire department stations and our police stations, and they're the best of the best. There's not another private business or a business owner that are building buildings like our police and fire department are. If we built more effectively, maybe we could keep the salaries for the police and the fire instead of spending all this money on these buildings. That is really bothersome to me, the spending that goes on there.
Well, and it's interesting because it's a shell game too, you know, because that money comes out of a different pot, blah 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 blah. But what we can do is, you know,
it doesn't look good.
No, it does. But there's ways we can save. We need to, you know, I think our impact fees are high enough. Greg voted to increase impact fees. The reason why, and the impact fees that they were voting on. One time he voted no because it wasn't high enough. It's those impact fees go to build those fire stations. They raise the impact fees so they can build a bigger, nicer fire station and an aqua park that is, you know, that now they can't keep, they don't have the M&O to run it. That's nuts.
It is.
And in Marana, they've had a holiday on impact fees. They've reduced impact fees. And guess where all the building in Pima County is going on? In Marana. Okay? We've got to be entrepreneurial about that. We've got to say to ourselves, look, we're going to do some things, our infill projects. We need to get the permit fees out of the way. We need to make it almost free to be building. I was with Kimber Lanning the other day. She said the only permit fee that Phoenix hasn't doubled is the demolition fee.
Well, I'd like to talk about parking, too, when we come back.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Parking downtown.
Let's talk about parking.
Yes. Yeah, let's take a phone call before we go on our break. Line one, Tom, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
All right, Tom, you got a question for Wes?
Yes, I do. I've heard a lot of, great words there, entrepreneurial, innovation, the new culture. And I was just down at City Hall for a meeting with one of the city managers and understand that there's not much money, according to what I heard, and, limited staff. I guess my question is, what can we really do, Wes, from your perspective, to introduce some new practices, best practices, that can help the small business sort of get something collaborating between the private sector and the public sector, you know, to help grow small business.
Right, and that's an excellent question.
I mean, there's a lot of talk. I'm just wondering,
right.
What can you get your
specifics.
Arms around?
Right, and you know, I'd have to take a little. I disagree with the city manager a little bit because there's $2.5 billion down there, and. And so that's a lot of money, no matter how you count it. And how we use it effectively means everything. So how we use it in the most efficient way to with a focus, a laser focus on job creation, because we've got to get the economy going again, and it's up to us. We can't count on anybody else. We can't count on Barack Obama to give us $500 billion in another stimulus plan. We can't count on the state. We can't count on anybody but us. So we've got to take the money we've got and organize it in a way that's efficient. And the ways I would do that is, one, same-day permitting. We can do that. It's easy. We can get it done. It actually doesn't cost money. It saves money. Two, we have to have a single point of contact when you come in to do your permits so that you have a caseworker who's in charge of your process. So you only have one person you have to talk to, and their job is then to talk to everybody else, get herd all the cats together, and make this go. That way we can have accountability on that one person to make the job happen, and he can tell us who's not doing their job and who's slowing down the process. Three, we've got to be working with the businesses we already have so that they're not leaving town, so that we're giving, you know, it's like DirecTV. I have DirecTV. And they're always giving free stuff to new people. And I've been with them for 20 years.
Nothing.
I am like their best customer. So every time I talk to them, I'm like, hey, give me something. You know,
yeah.
We need to do that with our businesses that are existing. We need to say to them, look.
We love you.
Yeah,
yes.
We love you. We
Absolutely.
Want you to grow these businesses here. University of Phoenix is a great example. They've added employees. They haven't added them in Arizona. We need to make sure they're adding those employees in Arizona. What do we need to do to get that done? And so those are three very specific ideas. We've got to create a fund that is an investment pool that small businesses can access by leveraging our banking partners, making sure that they are investing here and that they're spending the money. They don't just have a program, but they're actually spending the money. And it's
they don't hoard it like the banks are.
Right. And it's a little riskier pool. Greg, first he attacked me on that idea, and then he kind of came around to it. But we've got to do it because we bank, you know, $3 billion a year through banks in the city of Phoenix's accounts. Those are things that we can do immediately, and we can get them done, and we can and then parking meters. We invested $2 billion downtown. $2 billion.
And no one wants to go
down there.
No one wants to go downtown because you have to have a wheelbarrow full of quarters.
Exactly correct.
To park downtown.
We were in the Sister Cities board meeting, and people were leaving the board meeting all the time with their handful of quarters to go put them in.
It was ridiculous.
And guess what? I won't even go downtown to eat because if I go and eat and I miss my parking meter, it costs me, what, $27 or $37?
Right. And so if we're going to invest that kind of infrastructure, we want a vibrant downtown. We can't double the parking fees and then double the tickets and double the parking garages. It doesn't make sense.
No. We spend $2 billion putting parking meters downtown.
No, we put $2 billion of investment downtown at ASU, downtown at the Civic Center.
Those are some pretty high-tech parking meters.
Yeah, the
Platinum.
The Sheraton Hotel, light rail.
I wonder if Tom is still. Tom, are you around?
But
where'd Tom go? Is he on theirs? I mean, Long? Tom?
I think Tom.
All right. Anyway, I think that answered his question, I believe.
Yeah.
That was very good.
And the other question, too, is that, and I think Leanne hit the nail right on the head. When we were doing her campaign and we were knocking on 5,000 doors like you've been to, virtually everybody says, I give up. We can't do anything more. There seems to be an elitist mentality that happens in government. It used to be your parents would say, grow up and be an engineer, be a doctor, be a teacher. Now it's get a government job.
It was definitely refreshing that you responded right away to our request, that you're always available. That's huge.
Absolutely.
That
is.
There are the other candidate doesn't respond.
Well, you know, that's sometimes when you got a lead, you don't want to do that. He's a little bit ahead of me, so I'm being more aggressive. That's the way I've been my whole life.
Yeah,
well, that's been the underdog my whole life.
But that's how you need to run a business. You have to feel like that today is my first day of opening, and we better do the best we can do today because there may not be a tomorrow.
You got to have a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a sense of urgency, you won't get anything done. And we've seen it throughout history, throughout life, in sports. It's the teams that are urgent, they're the ones that
like
win.
The D-backs.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a perfect example, manager of the year, Kirk Gibson.
Absolutely.
I'm predicting it.
Absolutely.
That's an easy prediction. But let's go to a break right now, and we'll come back and talk to Wes Gullett, who is running for mayor for the city of Phoenix. Of course, we have Craig Dean and Leanne Hall in studio. We'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. We have Craig Dean and Leanne Hall in studio and special guest Wes Gullett running for mayor for the city of Phoenix. Now, Wes, there's a couple things I really like what you said. And you're a business guy. You're a strategic planner. I think that does make a difference among and really probably separates you from other politicians. I think you're coming in with a fresh approach, an approach that is intelligent, an approach that will integrate what I heard you say is the people part with systems like Lean Six Sigma TQM. Mm-hmm. And I think that's extremely important. I don't know if politicians know it. I doubt it. But I see you as a business guy coming and making a difference.
Well, I appreciate that. And when you're dependent on your abilities as a business person to feed your family and pay your mortgage, it brings that sense of urgency to the table. And we can't just count on certain things always occurring because no matter what, you're on the hot seat. That's an important element in character building. It is something that you can't learn. You have to live. And that's what I've done for the last 15 years. You know, Greg loves to attack me for my business. But the fact is, I've been there. I've been on the line. I've been on the firing line. I have had to sing for my supper. And, it can be tough out there in the real world, especially when you're starting a business and you don't know what's going to happen. Craig had a great question off the air. So, Craig, fire away.
Can you, as the new mayor of Phoenix, do for a business that's been around for 15, 20, 30, 35 years? And I'll give an example of a business because Paul Boo brought it up. Two businesses, Honeywell and Ping Manufacturing, Ping Golf Clubs. They're an international company. They are known around the world, and no one had even gone to speak to them for many, many years.
Right. It's nuts. And you hear stories like that all the time. Not only what can we do for them is for big companies like that, we can be in talking to them about expansion projects all the time. Ping's a little different because they're headquartered here. So if Ping's going to expand, how do we get you to expand in Phoenix? Mm-hmm. What do we have? We have land. We have buildings that we own, the city does. We have infrastructure costs that we can abate. We have things that can help you in a way if you're going to be creating jobs and good jobs to bring to bear. So if you have an expansion program and you need land in an industrial park, we have that land available. Let's get good terms. What do you do if you're in a if you're a private company, mm-hmm. and you've got assets that are sitting there not making any money for you? You
want to put those 2 months free or something.
You
like,
want to put those assets to work. And so that's what we see in a down economy, sales. Well, we have the same opportunity in Phoenix. We can't get ripped off because we have the public trust. But we can do a good deal and say, look, we've got this opportunity. Why we have to do it now is because if we go down a path where we're not doing it, we're doing the same old stuff, we will end up like Pittsburgh, and then have to reinvest billions of dollars mm-hmm. to get back on track. We'll have to do all kinds of things. It'll be much more expensive than if we did it today with the assets that we already have.
Tell us your thoughts on downtown and the light rail. And can downtown really become a vital part of our city? Can it be alive and vibrant, a place where we all want to go and spend time?
And about
time?
The parking meters. What are you going to do with all those?
Yeah, if we're serious about it, yeah.
Craig's really upset about those parking meters.
Yeah.
Can we get one special just for Craig?
Guess what? In Denver, what they did was they cut the parking fees dramatically, and it worked.
Because what
they were trying to do is get people downtown.
Why do you have to have a parking meter?
Right.
Why do you even have to do that?
The reason why you have to is theoretically to move people, because you don't want them just sitting there taking up a spot all day long, and that hurts commerce. So parking meters were invented to churn business. So that you actually had to move around, and there would be other people who
inventory turnover.
That's when you had retail downtown in these big cities. What we've got to do to make downtown vibrant is we've got to mix the housing stock as well. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm critical of Phil Gordon about is that his idea was we wanted to have all these expensive condominiums, and we wanted to have people with money downtown. That's important. But it's not the only thing. You've got to mix the housing stock. So you've got to have affordable housing. You have to have market rate apartments, and you have to have then mid-range condos and high-end condos. And if you do it right, you're going to have that even in one building.
Well, it needs to represent your society.
Right. In Seattle, they actually, by policy, say we want to have affordable housing downtown. Why? Because it puts bodies on the street. It then enhances retail.
Businesses.
Yes, and it creates restaurant opportunities. It creates business on the street level. And so you want to have affordable housing in your downtown to make it vibrant, because you need the bodies. You need people circulating in that process that creates that vibrancy. And that's free. That doesn't cost us anything, because all we're doing is allowing the market to then react positively.
Are we doing that at all?
We've been forced to, because the buildings couldn't sell the condos.
Only through foreclosure processes.
Right.
Yeah. So we're turning over things that were
expensive.
But we
need to think about that as a policy directive and say this is our goal, because we want to have all kinds of people, and especially because of the university. We want to have affordable housing for those college students mm-hmm. and the TAs and the people who don't have much money that are working in the university process, so they can be downtown, so that we're breaking down the silos, so that we can have this interaction on the street level, which rings the cash register.
You know, it's always amazed me, Wes, is that when I had my restaurant at Park Central, and I had the restaurant for like 27 years, there were empty lots along Central Avenue from Camelback to downtown. Those empty lots are still
empty
there. And I'm back to the parking meter. And I'm thinking, everybody wants to drive downtown. People would like to drive downtown, but parking, I mean, you have to go a mile away from downtown to get a street without a parking meter. Yet all these empty lots are sitting there. Someone owns those lots. It could become parking lots where you could jump on the light rail and pay $5 to park there for as long as you want. You're not inundating downtown with the cars.
Well, there's an incentive to keep them empty. That's probably not a good idea. We incentivize them to be empty by giving them way too much in terms of entitlements. You know, every one of those buildings is waiting for a 250-foot skyscraper. So, you know, I mean, that's a 25-story building. That's what they're waiting for.
Uh-huh.
And the market's never – it's not – never is a bad word. It's going to take a while for the market to catch
it
to
that.
It
hasn't happened in 30 years yet,
correct,
those lots.
Correct.
Well, this is a good time to take a break then, 30 years. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Wes Gullett, running for mayor for the city of Phoenix. We have Leanne Hall in studio, and Craig Dean will be right back.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and we have in studio special guest Wes Gullett, running for mayor of the city of Phoenix. And of course, Leanne Hall and Craig Dean are in-house as well. Let me ask one quick question, a little off the topic, but something that I think Leanne was talking about. There seems to be a lot of apathy among the voters, and there's been low voter turnout really nationwide. How do we get people to re-engage? And they can make a difference. Leanne, you were talking about it, but really it starts with one person. People can make a difference. They can't give up. How do you get people to really re-engage? And I think one way you're doing it is you're getting out there meeting a bunch of people, and I congratulate you on that. What's other ways, and how do you do that?
Hey, go ahead, Leanne.
You know, one of the things that we thought would be effective, and maybe it was whatever it was, but is to get to the business leaders, to the small businesses, rather than just even the individual homes, because your business leaders impact so many people that I really thought that that would be a key, is to get them involved in this process.
Right. And the
small businesses, though, right, not
yeah,
big
right.
corporations.
Not your
not,
Pings and Honeywells. Yeah, no,
right.
The small entrepreneur.
Right,
right, right. And I've done that. We've been all over the city doing town hall meetings in small businesses.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And we've done we're up to about 35 of them now that we've done all through the summer.
You haven't been to my business.
I'd love to.
Okay.
I'd love to. We'll have one there before in the next 56 days.
But he is on the radio show, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
So that's a great idea. It is hard because people are cynical. And the reason why they're cynical is because they see this phony baloney stuff going on all the time. And they see they don't believe they see the shell game. They're not stupid. Voters are smart people. Our citizens are smart people. They get it. They just don't want to be fundamentally told stories.
Which leads me to the city council. You can go to a city council and you see tremendous infighting between personalities at a city council meeting, just as it was between the Democrats and Republicans to balance the budget. When people see these shenanigans going on in public, you start wondering, what the heck goes on behind closed doors?
Well, let's give a perfect example, because what we heard at the city council at some of the meetings was totally discredited by the city manager. And so you have a real breakdown, and the public, I think, goes, okay, who's telling the truth here?
Yeah.
We're hearing one, they're total opposite stories, and who do we believe?
Well, it's impossible to know, because, and I've been through this. You know, there are, it's not that there are two sets of books. There's just one invisible set of books.
Yep.
And so you can't get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
The first thing we have to do is, and I've got on my website at wesgullett.com, is my reform package, which has a whole part about the budget process. We've got to shine a light on it, say, here's the specific budget. Here's the line by line. We start with zero. Here are the lines that we filled, that we paid last year. We're starting at zero. Let's justify each one of these things. We need to do that at least once because it's been forever since we've done it. And if we do that, then we can say, okay. And then if it's going up, if the recommendation is we need more money, why? Why do we need that? Right now we can't tell. And so nobody has, so if we start with zero, then we have a fair shot at it, because you can't lie about zero. It's not, you know, there's not, if we start at zero and have zero base budgeting, then everybody knows where we started from, and then we have to add to it. And that's a very public process, and that means that we're all on the same numbers. We've all got the same numbers. It's hard. It's hard work. But when I worked for the governor, I was the governor's chief of staff back in the 90s, Fife Symington. That was the first thing I did. When I was, they hired me to be chief of staff. I went into the first budget meeting and I said, I want to see the whole thing. I want to know how we get to where we're going. They said, you don't need to know that. You know, chief of staff doesn't need to know that. You've got loftier things to know about. There's nothing more lofty than the numbers, because we're talking about the public's treasure, $2.5 billion worth of the public's treasure. Let's get it right.
Well, you know, talk about wanting to know. I think it would be a wise thing to move the city council meetings to a more accessible time so that the general public could actually attend the meetings.
Instead
at
bingo,
3 o'clock
right,
in the
right,
middle of the
know.
Day when
bingo.
When the gen- most
bingo.
People can't attend the meetings.
And we've
bingo.
Been to several meetings. At times, you know, as soon as somebody hears their pet project,
they get up and leave.
Sometimes there'll be 20 or 30 people at those meetings, and that's it.
Very, because it's not a good time.
Yeah.
And the parking meters, it's hard.
Well, not only that, but we've got to have, yeah.
It cost me $37 to go to the city council meeting.
That's why they do it. That's why they do it during
exactly.
the day, Craig, because they want to get your money. Because they know it's going to, you know, it's like
exactly.
$1 billion, so.
I have to carry around my ATM machine to park.
And if we did them at night, it'd only be half a billion. Because,
so.
You know, the clock would run out at 8. We've got to do that. We've got, and you know, Greg's saying, oh, of course we're going to move the things tonight. Well, you were there 9 years. You never once in 9 years suggested we move the meetings to night. Well, how about this? Why should we believe you now? He always says, who do you trust? Well, I don't trust you because you didn't do it when you had the chance. And what did you do? You quit your job to take a better one that you thought was better. That's where we were with him. What I'm saying is, now let's take a chance on me, who's a new guy. We haven't done it in 28 years. It's time. It's time we had fresh eyes, look under the hood of this thing, and get it right. And that's what we got to do. And if we don't do it, shame on us. Take a chance on me. What we're going to do is we're going to get under the hood. We're going to zero base the budget. We're going to figure out where the $2.5 billion are. We're going to let you guys all know about it. We're going to do it at night. We're going to stream it on the internet so that everybody, even if you don't have Cox, sorry Cox about the DirecTV thing, even if you're like me and have DirecTV, you can see what's going on, and that we can make a difference. And it's not, and the difference is the purpose. What's it for? The purpose of it is to get rid of the food tax that is on our we're balancing the budget on the poorest people in our community. It is lowering those permit fees so we can get this economy going again. It is reinvesting in important things like after-school programs for our at-risk youth, which we've cut out. It is investing in things that are going to get the economy going again. And it is making sure that we are addressing the important things like how to get people to work, like actually having bus service in South Phoenix that's reliable. You know, Greg says, we're going to build a light rail down South Central Avenue. It's a false promise. We're going to do it in 25 years at best. And what we need to do is have a bus system that works, that's affordable for people so that they can get to work.
Yeah, we already have the infrastructure in place.
Right.
We can utilize that.
Right.
We don't have to build.
Yeah, I would like to incentivize employees to increase their job performance. I mean, everybody doesn't have to be rewarded with money. Human nature isn't like that. There are certain things that can be done when you catch someone doing something right. I would love to be able to go into DMV and go to get my license and not be told that you have the wrong form when I went online and it said to bring these forms.
yeah, wouldn't that be special?
It would be very, very special.
Tell us about that, Craig.
Well, it's like the parking meters.
Are we sure you brought the right forms?
And then, you know, even when they had the chance to keep the parking fees the same but let us use credit cards, they said no. Here's what we also got to partner with technology. You know what Dr. Crow at ASU is doing? He's partnering with solar companies. He's got he's reduced his energy costs by having 25% solar. He knows what the costs are into the future because of his investment with solar, and he's done it with a private-public partnership that doesn't cost him any money. That's what we've got to do. And there are people who are out there that we could be running the light rail with solar power. It wouldn't cost us any more money. It would save us money in the long term because we'd know what our energy costs are going forward. We'd be able, and it'd be renewable energy, and it'd put people to work.
Absolutely.
All at the same time.
You know,
that sounds like a winner.
Interesting you mention it, because I think one thing the city doesn't do well enough is talk about what they are doing well. The Sunny Slope Community Center on Vogel is off the grid. It's all solar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're a member of the Sunny Slope Kiwanis, and we hold our meetings there. I didn't know it till the other day. They took me around. Everything is solar. Why don't we know that as citizens? That we're doing certain things correctly.
Right. We've got to celebrate. And we do that really poorly in the city of Phoenix. This is a great city. We are one of the world's greatest cities. And we need to be proud of that.
Be a better marketer.
Right.
Yes.
And we've got to say, look, we are in the big leagues. This is a place you want to be. This is a place you want to do business. This is a place you want to grow your family. This is a place that is awesome. But we're afraid. We think we've got this chip on our shoulder. We're a little nervous, sort of like I was at the beginning of the campaign, just a little nervous. Now I've figured it out. We got to celebrate. We've got to celebrate our success, and we've got to be willing to challenge the big boys and say, we're here, we're grown up, and we are serious about getting your business.
See, and that's one of the problems. We are in such a fear mode, not only in Phoenix, but in the country. We have talked ourselves into a severe recession because we're so afraid to celebrate the goodness of this country. We've talked ourselves out of it.
And there's no place better than America. We are the freest people on the earth. We have the best education system. No matter what they say, because it's free. It's a free system with free thinking. We have the ability, we have liberty. We have the ability to challenge the system. We can say what we want. Those are great things that other people are dying to have.
Absolutely.
Where's your next event? Where can somebody come in here?
Well, you can come to my fundraiser at Rosie McCaffrey's tonight at a locally owned small business.
Guinness?
Guinness for everyone at 5:30, and then we've got a debate downtown at the medical school on the 20th. You can come and hear Greg and I go at it. I'll be talking about the future of Phoenix. He'll be talking about me being a lobbyist. It'll be really exciting. And I have town hall meetings, and they're on my website.
Which
we have them all the time, westgullet.com. And that's with two T's, two L's and two T's, Wes Gullet.
Well, thank you,
Wes. I'm the guy with the signs.
That was excellent. I appreciate it. And Craig Dean, Leanne Hall, thank you. And Wes, we'll see you again. We'll get you on the show again. And hopefully
I'm available anytime.
Excellent. And we'll try to get a debate between you and Greg going on this show.
We challenge Greg Stanton to come on this show.
Well, we're going to do it. We'll get it. Anyway, stay tuned for Understanding Autism. Leanne, thank you again, Wes.
That.
Wes Gullet for Mayor of City of Phoenix. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Is Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
What does your landscaping say about you?
I'm friendly to our planet.
I zero scape.